Welcome back. On this episode of The Checkdown, we discuss how many times is acceptable to eat biscuits and gravy while on vacation. We then turn our thoughts to sports and talk about Nick Foles leading the NFL in jersey sales from March to May, Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto, the World Cup final, and the British Open. It's a jam-packed show, but it's a good one. The Blitz Package then heats up as we give our top five football movies of all time, so stay tuned for that. But first, here's your jam of the week. This is Post Malone with Psycho.
Damn, I ain't the gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Homo for cars and all the boys. Well, I ain't pick on psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands. Oh, you stuck in the friend zone. I tell that 4, 5, 5 to 5. Ayy, 100 bins inside my shorts. A chain, all the shit. Ayy, try to stuff it on in, but it.
Kyle, how was your week?
Week is great.
Good week. So I have a question I got to ask you, because I went on a trip and I'm a little self-conscious about it, because I was in Portland for a while and we went out to eat a lot. We went around the city. We had great hosts. They took us all these different places. But I realized that I ate, or my fiance and I, your sister. The first time that we've revealed that to the podcast, that I'm engaged to your sister.
I said last time that you knew her.
Yes, but we didn't actually.
Which is an understatement.
Yeah.
As much as
fiance, your sister, we ate biscuits and gravy every chance we got. What is the acceptable amount of times you can eat biscuits and gravy in a 5-day period? And then I'll tell you how many times we ate it.
Every morning.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm a huge biscuits and gravy fan.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better, because we ate it 3 times.
That's perfect. If I go to a good restaurant with a good biscuits and gravy where it's highly touted, where you can tell by the menu that it's one of their featured items, unless there's something just out there that just blows my mind looking at like a picture or description, I go biscuits and gravy. For example, we're in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I got
yeah.
that biscuits and gravy, which had a little fried chicken slid inside there in the middle, which was just out of this world.
We ate a lot of good food
in
Texas, and obviously to be expected. But Portland's food scene, unbelievable.
It's well known.
Very well known, yeah. And I didn't know if it was appropriate to eat that amount of biscuits. And what is gravy? Do you know what gravy actually is? Because I don't.
No,
but
I don't.
It's good.
So, Thanksgiving every year, my wife's family makes a regular white gravy and a chocolate gravy.
Like a dessert gravy?
So we eat at breakfast.
Okay.
So day after Thanksgiving, you do a country breakfast at like 11 a.m. You wait. You do it late, so everybody's starving. It's like a lunch. It's a brunch, right?
Brunch, yeah. It's a brunch Thanksgiving.
I thought I was making up a term. Lunch and brunch. It already exists. It's brunch. But in the regular white gravy, it's just like cream and...
Butter
and milk or something?
I think this is getting to the point of why I was asking if it's appropriate to eat it 3 days and 3 times
it's
in 5 days.
Not good for you. Let me tell you. Like, nobody's under the assumption that's good for you, because it isn't. Now, gravy, probably worse.
Worse. But, okay, so what do you put the chocolate gravy on? I'm interested, because that's crazy.
So, I'm not a big chocolate fan. You know that?
What is wrong with you?
Chocolate and peanut butter? Yeah,
and cut in your sandwich?
Jesus. You're on an island. So you put the chocolate gravy on the same thing. If you're a chocolate gravy lover or chocolate lover, biscuits, hash browns, sausage, bacon, whatever. Anything you would put regular gravy on, you'd put chocolate gravy on.
I'm curious.
Is the idea.
But not
I don't
turkey.
Know.
Not the
I
turkey.
I think it's gross, but I don't know.
Yeah. That's
turkey.
To me.
Put it on turkey.
But it's chocolate. That's
But
weird.
It's chocolate gravy. It's not like just smearing Hershey's syrup on your turkey, which is... disgusting.
That is correct. That would
right,
be
turkey is dry and you need something to make it a little moist. Chocolate ain't the thing.
Okay, fair. I
you're asking the wrong guy, is what I'm saying.
Fair enough. Okay, because you would do the same. You would have probably ate it all 5 days if you could have.
Yeah, you know what I'd put chocolate gravy on? The trash can. That's what I put it on, because I don't want it. It's gross.
Okay, so I'm not terribly out of the ordinary for eating it as many times as we did.
No, dude, I would have done the same thing. I might have even done it more.
Okay, so here's my...
So my question is, what did you eat the other days where that was better looking on the menu than biscuits and gravy? Because you know you looked at it.
I did. So after the last morning, I was feeling like I had put on some LBs, a couple pounds. So I went with a, what did I get? An oatmeal. With a little, some bananas and pecans and a little creme brulee.
That is different than biscuits and gravy. That is very different.
That's how funny the human mind is when you think about it. Like, 3 days worth of just shoving my face. And hold on, I gotta interject myself. Because not only do I get biscuits and gravy, usually I'm always like, I'm a big like French toast and pancake guy. So I always say like, can I also try one of your French toasts or one of your pancakes? So not only was I crushing biscuits and gravy, but I was also then, in addition, getting a piece of French toast or pancakes. So I was eating a lot. So that last morning, I was like, I should probably get something healthy. Which, why would your brain switch over for the last day? Like, the last four days.
Let me clear something up. Eating oatmeal once doesn't cleanse your body. Of like a week of biscuits and gravy. You're like, well, I'm going to come back from this trip more ripped up than I was because I had freaking oatmeal one time.
But it had the creme brulee stuff on top, so it wasn't even that healthy for me.
One thing I just thought about when you were going through that whole spiel was our palates couldn't be any different.
Yeah.
Any different.
That's very true.
I would never order pancakes.
Never?
I would never order French toast.
Even if it's world famous.
Wouldn't do it.
Two of the restaurants said world famous, so I had to get it. Had to.
Just take their word for it, huh?
Well, yeah.
Not gonna argue.
Well, one of them has been on one of the like food channel.
Oh, that makes sense. I like, you know, saltier foods, more savory foods. I'm not a big sweets guy. Pancakes are sweet. French toast is sweet. So the biscuits and gravy is probably one of the things we agree on. Okay. I feel like everything you sit here and you talk about how much you love, I'm sitting there like, no, nothing.
Which so your sister
and
is
I'm
very
picky
similar
though, too. I want to point that out.
But you're not. But you. So, your sister thinks that pancakes and French toast is, like, too desserty for breakfast. It's like a dessert. So, that's why she doesn't get it. Is that where you're at, or you just don't like it?
I don't want to group myself in with her because she's a picky eater.
She is not a picky eater.
You put anything in front of her. And the spicy thing is another thing
that I
separates
can't do.
Us, right?
I cannot do that.
I love chips and salsa. I love putting hot sauce on stuff and eggs and all that, and you just can't do it.
No, remember in Denver, we got those tacos?
Almost killed you.
What was the one? It was, it wasn't teriyaki. No, it was. It was a teriyaki chicken.
Was that a Mexican place?
Yeah.
Like a Chinese place?
No, it was a Mexican restaurant, but the taco was like a Chinese food flavor.
It was like a Thai.
It was
like
a Thai
food taco?
Yeah, and I almost threw up right at the table. That was bad news for me.
Your eyes? you had tears coming down, like they were like hitting your nipples. Like they were coming off of your chin. Like
it was
I
like
was
the,
worried for
the
you.
No Sean Moreno tear. Remember that thing? When he's like...
It's brutal.
The huge tear just
tripped. But I'll be honest with you, that was a hot taco.
Yeah, that was hot for you, and you can handle spice way more than I can. But
that was, I ate it, and you were taking a bite at the same time as me, and I was eating it. As I was taking a bite, I was feeling bad for you because I knew how much worse it was going to affect you, and I was like...
You were like trying to stop me,
but in my mind, I was like, oh, Tony's going to die right now.
That was bad. You guys were going to the Broncos game that I had to get on the train. That's why I was crying, not because it was too spicy.
I was going to say, that's a bummer you didn't come with us.
Anywho, that was a good 7.5 minutes worth of talking about biscuits and gravy.
I didn't expect that to happen,
But it was a genuine question because there was a time where I was like, man, like I am not eating healthy, but it's also vacation, right? Like that's just kind of the name of the game. But
nobody, if you eat, if there's a few things that people do that classify you as a psychopath. Eating, super healthy, and working out on a vacation is one
of
those.
That's a good call.
If you work out every day on vacation... And you eat super healthy every meal on vacation, you are a psychopath.
That's a good call. Yeah. There's something wrong with you, if that's what you're...
Yeah, you're a psychopath.
Doing. Would you consider that being wrong?
What? Being a psychopath?
I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
You can have a six-pack all you want.
But I'm going to enjoy the hell out of those biscuits and gravy with fried chicken in there. Which reminds me, the first time, that's what I had. But it was a sandwich. So it wasn't a traditional breakfast. Biscuits and gravy. It was like a regular sandwich, but with chicken fried steak and then gravy on top. It only gets better. Let's move on to the real sports talk. Not a whole lot of news other than NBA stuff, which we'll get into, but some Pac-12 stuff. Just fun fact, Nick Foles, former Arizona Wildcat, was the top jersey seller from March to May above Tom Brady and Carson Wentz. good for him. Good for us.
That's
good for the podcast.
That's crazy. I feel like, well, a couple things, right? I still feel bad for him, mm-hmm. because he's not going to get the recognition he deserves. Now, am I 100% sold that he's one of the major reasons they won the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
You're not?
Because that team was so well-rounded.
Yeah, but he's like, still... But
isn't it a credit to the team that that an MVP candidate... An MVP candidate... That's a chair. Okay. The MVP candidate can get hurt, take a seat, and then the backup, who's a... what's the word? People that...
Stud.
Like, no, well, yes. people that like travel around and they play...
Oh, journeyman.
Journeyman.
Yeah.
Journeyman quarterback, veteran. I get it. He comes in, and the team doesn't skip a beat. But isn't that a credit to the team and the coaching style and the offense just as much as it is to Nick Foles?
So I agree with you to a certain extent. That's why the Eagles won, right? Obviously, Nick Foles isn't the number one reason he won. But I think if he doesn't have the game he has, they don't win. I do think he...
In what sense? Like, what part of his game?
Well, I'm looking up the stats now because I don't want to misspeak, but I'm pretty sure he passed for like 330 yards.
He caught a touchdown.
And he caught a touchdown. I think he passed for two and caught another.
I saw a video on some social media platform that the city of Philadelphia closed down Main Street and put a big projector screen up and replayed the Super Bowl. And like 20,000 people came, and then when they showed a video of when they replayed the touchdown pass to Nick Foles, like,
yes,
everybody's like throwing their beers in the air and everybody's having a good time. And I was like, that is such a cool idea to like relive that moment.
What a great idea, especially too when you still got a little bit of time. Well, technically they have until February when the next Super Bowl is, but until the next season starts.
But if they suck come like November, they're going to think about that more.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I thought that was great for them to do. So hold on, I'm pulling the stats up just so we can make sure that
he's tall, 6'6".
So he went 28 for 43, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Only one pick?
One pick. QBR of 88.6 and a rating of 106.1.
It's a great game.
That's a great game. That's better. I mean, I don't. Actually, that might not be better than Tom Brady was.
How good is a QBR phenomenal. Of 88?
I think it's out of 100.
No.
100. It's not?
I think it goes
higher than the rating is out of like 150.
Oh, you're right.
But I think the QBR is out of 100.
So that's really good.
That's. I mean. So I think without his performance, they don't win.
So, I guess my thing is, we know a lot about football.
Yes.
But NFL executives and scouts and coaches know more. And if he was that good, and he was just not in the right system or not on the right team or offense or whatever it is, you know, in this offseason, wouldn't the whole world be trying to get him? Because you know that every single season, no matter who comes out, half of the teams in the NFL need a new quarterback.
But
how many teams right now need a new quarterback?
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that. I think now Philly knows what it has in its back pocket. And I think there's going to be...
They'd trade him.
But they would. I think that it's going to be a Jimmy Garoppolo situation come the couple weeks of the first couple weeks of the season. He's going to get disgruntled. He's not going to want to be a backup. He's a Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP. He's not going to want to sit behind anybody. Even if it's Carson Wentz, who is arguably last year until he got hurt, MVP, he's not going to want to sit behind him. No way. He's going to go to Miami or wherever that needs somebody, and he's going to perform.
If Carson Wentz doesn't start until third of the way in the year, because it's possible, right?
Because isn't his injury?
Yeah, because of his injury. Nick Foles comes out and goes like 2-2 and isn't playing
you
that well.
You think so? Oh,
no,
you
I'm
mean,
not saying
oh,
that.
Okay.
I'm just saying like if he does that,
right.
Then what that means is Philadelphia loses their leverage. They lose that chip that they have in their back pocket to say, hey, everybody, this guy just won the Super Bowl.
That's a good point.
And we already got a guy.
That's a good point. But
so give us whatever you got because we're willing to trade because this guy's awesome and you need him. We don't. We got Carson Wentz. If he comes out and has a bad performance, everybody goes, oh,
see,
that's what we thought he was. He just had a great playoffs. Whatever, keep him as a backup. So I feel like you're being very, very risky keeping him if you're Philadelphia, hoping that, you know, he carries you until, I don't know. I just...
You're not a Foles fan.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if I'm Philadelphia, you have an opportunity when the stock is hot. When the stock is high.
That's true.
When it's as high as it's ever going to... When can a stock ever be higher than winning a Super Bowl?
Being the Super Bowl. I get that.
It can't.
It can't.
Super Bowl, MVP, Super Bowl, it can't be higher.
Until...
It can only go down from here.
But until another team plays so bad and their starting quarterback is so bad that they're willing to give up whatever they need to get a guy like
Forrest. There's 15 of those every year. I can name 15 teams right now that need a quarterback. Don't ask me to do that because I don't know that many teams.
we haven't done our research yet.
Yeah. But there's 15 teams out there, I freaking guarantee it.
That's a good... That's
Jacksonville would take him over.
Bortles?
Bortles.
I mean, they went to the AFC Championship.
It doesn't matter. He's a laughingstock of everything, and you know that. We sat here and gave him a hard time for like 3 weeks in a row.
That's a good point. But you gave Foles a hard time, too, and then he won the Super Bowl.
Did I?
Yeah.
For what?
You said that Case Keenum and Foles were not as good as any of the other quarterbacks in the playoffs, and they were two of the best.
I feel like I said that about Case Keenum.
You definitely do not like Case Keenum. And I'm a huge Case Keenum fan.
Yeah, you are.
We're almost on a year here of me saying that I like Case Keenum. Last year this time.
Good for him.
Anyways, congratulations to Foles. He also won the Championship Performance ESPY Award.
Also, what I wanted to say about that was I feel like that's a very Philadelphia thing.
Oh, yeah.
To buy those jerseys, to love the guy that came up from nothing, to be a superstar. That, I mean, not that he came up from nothing, because I don't know about anything, his background or his upbringing or schooling, whatever. But I just know that to come from a backup to take that spot two-thirds of the way through the season, later team to a Super Bowl in a very Tom Brady fashion,
right?
Like Tom Brady did back in the day for Drew Bledsoe, that's very Philadelphia, right? Like, think about the football movies.
Yeah.
Invincible, yes. Rocky, all those football sports movies where the guys come up and they're like, oh, he's
Rocky's
just...
Rocky's not a sports football sports movie, but it's, it is a sports movie.
Did I say football
sports?
Yeah. Football slash sports movie. He's a regular dude.
Yeah, I like
he's a, you know.
And I like that about him, that he's a regular dude. I feel like that's what draws me to him. Is he looks kind of like he's maybe got like a super mild personality. He just shows up, works hard, wins the Super Bowl. Those guys should be rewarded. I like those guys.
He's always been good. He's never been great.
He had one great season.
Was it great though?
I mean, let's look it up. I'll pull it up. We can talk about something else until
great,
I get
though,
it.
You know,
great was I think he was a Pro Bowler.
Mm. I think you're right.
I think 1 year I he had like an really, absurdly really good year.
And we're like the franchise was literally considering him for like the long term guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then they didn't. Your Wi-Fi is a little slow, so this may take a while. So we may have to move on.
Well, let's
come
move
back.
On.
Yeah, let's move on. We've talked a lot about Foles. Because let's move on to the bigger stories. Kawhi Leonard found a home.
Yeah,
And a weird one at that. So Kawhi Leonard was traded to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan. And a pick, first-round pick, I believe. I don't like this at all.
You know,
one, it's like, so it's reverse LeBron. Like, everybody for as long as we know has been saying, like, he's going to L.A. There's, like, little talks of, like, maybe going to Philly, maybe going to Boston, maybe going to Houston. But it was, like, everyone knew, like, 75% were like, he's going to L.A. First day he could, went to L.A. Kawhi, everyone's like, nobody knows where he's going. Nobody knows. But these are the big spots. And then it's like, but he goes here. And nobody had brought up Toronto.
Well, he didn't go there. He was
traded
there.
Good point. He was sent there. Yeah, he was sent there. But it's just weird. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, the good news is San Antonio and Toronto are very similar cities. So he should fit right in. The weather's the same.
Jump right
in. The culture's the same.
Absolutely.
The countries are the... Oh, no, wait. It's the exact opposite.
The languages are the same.
The languages are the same.
They speak French in Toronto.
And in San Antonio.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good point.
So, from a trade perspective, San Antonio had to do it. They're sitting there and their options are running out. They had to do something. They had to get somebody for him. Kawhi is the best two-way player in the league. He's a top five player, top seven player, depending on who you talk to. But he's an incredible player. He's a guy that can win you a championship as a number one. He's done it. He's a finals MVP. That's undisputed.
Yes, that's a good point.
I'm not plugging Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe's show. Can't stand it. But from a Toronto perspective, very interesting and super risky, right?
I would say slightly dumb.
Well,
to be honest.
Okay, we can go there.
Yeah.
But, like, definitely very risky because you're sending away the guy that's been your best player for the longest time. Now, granted, him and Kyle Lowry have not gotten to the promised land.
Right.
And that team, with as much talent as they've put around him, as great as they've been in the regular season, is just not doing it. Right. And every year they're amazing in the regular season and they're just not doing it, right? So is it the Clippers situation all over again where, like, you feel like you have the guys, but they're just not going to perform in the playoffs? And so do you just continue to try the same team over and over and over, or do you just move on?
But LeBron is out of the East. Their one pitfall the last 3 or 4 years, whatever it was, is they ran into LeBron and he beat him. And he beat him bad. I'm not saying that they put up a good fight or anything like that, but he's gone. So the team that had the best record in the East last year, that lost to LeBron in the second round, now LeBron is gone.
So because LeBron's gone, they're going to be Golden State in the finals?
No, but I think that they could, with the team they had, without having to go through LeBron, could compete with Boston, who's young, until they get Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back. Could compete with Philadelphia, who's young. So now you're talking about, you are the front runner, if not one of the top two, maybe three, in the East to make it to the finals. But
is Kawhi Leonard better than DeMar DeRozan? Of course he is.
Of course he is. But he's leaving after a year.
You don't know that.
He's gone.
That's the risk.
He's already saying he's not going to play
Toronto.
Toronto's
a really cool city. I've never been there, but everybody I talk...
But Drake's from there.
Kiki,
do you love
And then
me?
He moved to the United States. He probably doesn't love it that much. But everybody I've talked to that's been to Toronto says it's a really cool city. It's a really cool culture. And...
I don't doubt that.
They're taking a huge risk in bringing him in and saying, hey... We're going to bring you in, and we're going to show you that this is the franchise you want to play for the next 5 years.
But I don't think that's it.
We thought that about Paul George, too.
That's true.
Went to OKC, and everybody thought, no freaking chance he stays in OKC. He's going to go there for you, and he's out.
That's true. That's
and then
a good
he
point.
Got there. He fell in love with Russ. They got a bromance going on.
And they're
going
to go
Maybe they share an
deep.
Apartment. I'm not sure. But they're obviously boys, and he signed for a huge contract. A contract that he's not worth.
But here's
it's the same thing.
Here's the difference. Paul George was not saying, I'm not going to play for somebody. Kawhi Leonard has already come out since he's been traded and said, I'm thinking about sitting out the next season because I don't want to play for Toronto.
He said that about Toronto?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
So he was saying it about San Antonio, and then now he's saying about Toronto, about how upset he is, and he's thinking, I don't think he actually will, because I think his reputation will be so just smeared.
Yeah, he's going to be such a big baby.
I didn't know that either, and I'm a little bit upset. Kawhi Leonard was, I loved him.
I thought he was like the rock solid Derek Jeter type, where like he didn't let like the press or anybody in, and he just like worked hard, and he just won basketball games.
Now he's doing all this, and like I get
now
it
he's Kobe? Come on.
I get it to a certain extent, but like I think Kawhi Leonard is going to the Lakers regardless. Because now, how do you compete? Yeah, you can sell the city, but how do you sell against Los Angeles and LeBron James?
That's very true.
You can't.
And the Lakers have like 7 guys on 1 year deals.
Exactly.
So next year they can just be like, peace out.
JaVale McGee, gone. Rajon Rondo, gone.
Lance Stephenson, gone.
Yeah. So now you have a young core still with Ball, Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, LeBron, and Kawhi's going next year. So I think Kawhi is just throwing a little bit of a fit right now, but that's why I say Toronto was dumb.
But if you're Toronto, I don't know. Like, it's super risky. But if you don't do that, you can't just keep trying the same thing over and over.
But I think
they've done it for like 4 years in a row.
But I guess the risk that they took was they said, we'll take 1 year of Kawhi Leonard and see if we can win a championship and see if we can convince him to stay. And if not.
We rebuild. Because guess what? Obviously, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry wasn't going to win you a championship. Let's be honest. They're not going to turn around and beat Golden State. They're not going to do it.
That's true.
It's not going to happen.
That's a good point.
So you might as well just take a shot on Kawhi, and if that doesn't work, then you start from scratch.
But now they don't...
And you had a good run.
Unless maybe they're planning to trade him at the break, or before the trade deadline, to the Lakers and get something in return from them.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Ooh, hot take. Woo!
What? I didn't even think
Everybody
about
Everybody all right? We start a fire in here? Jesus. But
they
I don't
have a different perspective on what they want back than San Antonio did because they're not in the same conference.
Right.
San Antonio was like, we're not going to give the Lakers
the
best two-way player in the league because they're in the West like we are.
Right.
And the Spurs and the Lakers have been like two juggernauts
Now Toronto can say, look, we'll take one of your best young guys, whoever we think it is, probably either Kuzma or Ingram, and a first-round pick, and we'll give you Kawhi. Because now they're rebuilding and getting young talent. But I don't know. But now the Lakers have a little bit of a stranglehold on it, because why would they give that up knowing that Kawhi's most likely going to come to them next year?
Because that's what they thought about Paul George.
That's true.
And it didn't happen. That's what I keep telling people. People are like, all the Laker fans I know are like, nope, just wait. I'm like, we waited on, you guys waited on PG. And that didn't work. Guys get comfortable, they buy a house, they get buddies.
That's true.
And they hang out.
Hangs out with Drake. You know Drake's going to be taking him all around.
Drake is going to be selling him like you wouldn't. He's going to be the biggest salesman you've ever seen in your life. He's going to be singing to him. Like, how do you not want Drake to just come to your condo?
Do you love me? That's a new song by Drake. I don't know if you've seen all the videos. Yeah. The Shiggy Dance.
Just downtown Toronto, just singing to him in his apartment, sitting on a piano with like a tank top.
Oh, anywho, I'm not a big fan of it, but I do think it's somewhat smart of San Antonio to get another star, at least, in before they lose everything.
Yep, good move by San Antonio, for sure.
Good move by San Antonio to the best of their ability, I think, but bad move, I think, personally, for Toronto. But we'll see how it plays out. The other big move, Carmelo Anthony is on his way to the Atlanta Hawks for... not on his way to Atlanta Hawks. He's going to get waived by them, and he's going to sign... with either Miami, Houston, or LA is where they're talking
about. Miami, that's interesting.
Yeah. So basically what happened was the Thunder traded Carmelo Anthony to the Atlanta Hawks for Dennis Schroeder, point guard, and some guy named Muscala, who averaged 7 points and four rebounds.
Isn't that a wine? Like a sweet wine?
It sounds like a wine. It should be. What's his first name? Do you know?
White.
White Muscala. I don't know if that's it, but could be a wine name.
As a guess.
Anyways, Toronto traded Carmelo Anthony to the Hawks for those two guys. And then the Hawks got Carmelo Anthony and a first-round pick protected in 2022, but they're expected to waive Carmelo Anthony, so they said, like, hello to Carmelo and goodbye to Carmelo all in the same thing. I don't really understand it. Do you?
So,
I understand the trade. I don't understand why they did that.
I've never been a Carmelo fan. It's so interesting to me because he's been so successful at every level of basketball he's ever played. I think I was like AAU superstar, won a national championship at Syracuse. He comes to the NBA, he kills it, he goes to the finals with the Nuggets, like right away. Right. Bam! Yeah, true. This guy's like,
he went to the finals with the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Really? Was Allen Iverson on that team? Was that when Allen Iverson was there?
Is Allen Iverson on the Nuggets?
Yeah, I think for a year. Or two.
I don't know. Who went to the finals,
anyways,
though?
Did they lose?
Yeah.
To who?
I don't know. But they don't have a ring. Okay. So he lost somebody.
Yeah.
But he was a stud.
That's good sports reporting.
Yeah. You know. It's out there somewhere. Look it up.
Yeah.
So he breaks on the scene super quick and is successful, goes to the playoffs all the time, goes to the finals. Everybody's like, this guy's here to stay.
Right.
And then the last 10 years of his career, which is the majority of it at this point, he's, you know, went to the Knicks, was a disaster. OKC didn't work out. They're way worse than people thought they're going to be. Now he's going to go to the Hawks. They're going to waive him. He's going to be picked up by somebody. I don't think Houston works. I just don't.
Unless he just wants to be a spot-up shooter, which maybe.
I mean,
but
honestly, I think the best way that it works for Houston, if you can convince the guys to come off the bench.
Yeah, true.
I know it's really hard.
Be the leader of the second rotation.
Be the sixth man. Come off. Yes, yeah. You could do. Run around with the ball as much as you want.
That's a good point. That's
for good 20 point. Minutes a game, you could be the guy.
Yeah.
And drop 30. You want to drop 30 in 20 minutes? Come off the bench.
Go for it.
You want to start? You're only going to get certain shots, certain plays, this and that.
Because now you have Harden, who's definitely going to control the ball.
Harden and Chris Paul are both like point guards. They're both ball hogs.
He wants to be kind of end of game spot up shooter on the drive and kick and the sixth man, if that's his role, I could see it maybe working out, but... I just don't think... I think Carmelo is a very good scorer, and I think that he came onto the scene, like you said, kind of hot because he could score from the low block, from outside, from the kind of elbow, take guys one-on-one, very hard to guard. But hasn't proven to be so hard to guard that he can lead a team to a championship.
Yep.
And I think, long story short, that his time is kind of up and he's got to take that kind of back seat and... just depends on where he wants to take it, but still going to get paid a lot of money regardless of where he goes because he had a terrible contract with the Thunder, so good for him.
Yeah, I mean, if he's willing to take that role player position, whether it's a six-man or a starting role, and he's willing to be that spot-up shooter guy that just makes smart basketball plays and hopefully plays somewhat legitimate defense, which he's not known for.
Yeah, not at all.
Then he can win. He could help Houston try to win a championship. Like, but a guy like that, if he plays the role that the team needs him to play, they can threaten Golden State. They could have beat him this year.
But I guess if he goes to Houston, can he be the small ball four? That's what the teams are doing.
Yeah. I think where, he stretched the floor.
Yeah. Him, so you think P.J. Tucker, who can stretch it, him, and then Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella, the big guy that just runs and sets screens. Maybe that's what they're thinking. They maybe just match up, and he can guard Draymond Green.
Well, I know him and Chris Paul are really good friends.
Yeah. Both winos. Big
banana
winos.
Boat guys.
They drink a lot of Mescala.
Bring white Mescala fans. So hopefully Chris Paul can convince him to be that guy they need him to be. I just... He's always been like, I'm the guy, I'm the superstar. His whole career is going to be hard for him. However, he wasn't that in OKC.
No.
He was number. He was the third option, and he freaking knew it.
And even at the end of when his time in New York, people like did not like him.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you're just literally shooting 45 times a game for your own stats, and we're losing all the time. So, I don't know. Interesting. This has been...
Super weird, yeah. Actually, I thought Kawhi was the last shoe to drop. And now Carmelo is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, once Carmelo goes wherever he's going to go, that's really it.
Yeah.
Free agency's over.
I think it's done. Yeah, I agree. But that's your basketball update, your basketball news. The World Cup final happened.
Hmm.
It was an interesting game. A lot of goals, which I like because I feel like that keeps you a little more interested. France obviously won 4-2. I think what I didn't like is there were so many goals within a short period of time in favor of France that the game was a little out of hand. In about the, 60th minute, I'd say. Something like that. So,
one thing I will say is that if all soccer games were 4-2, matches.
Yeah, matches. On the pitch.
Can I go on a side note here and say that it's a game, not a match? A match is multiple games that come together. Like,
I don't have my noisemaker, but Kyle's going into hater mode.
AVP beats volleyball, does like 2 out of 3, that's a match. Tennis. Is, you have those games inside of a match.
Got it. So a match is multiple games within one.
Yeah, like it's two people just playing against each other, but it's multiple games inside of it. Soccer, it's a game.
It's a game.
I don't know why they call it a match. Somebody tweet Tony or put on our Instagram how I'm wrong. That's fine. But I kept calling it a game, and like I know that all the soccer fans that were like commenting back to me or texting me kept calling it a match, and I was like, I kept thinking to myself, I was like,
it's not a match. It's not a match.
It's not a match.
It sounds weird when
but
I say
it. But you guys
it
are... I know that you guys are right because that's what they call it. The announcers call it that or whatever, but it's not a match.
It feels weird, yeah. I agree.
I totally agree.
But they do call a match play in golf. But that's multiple holes in a game.
Yep, there you go.
So I guess your theory... Yeah, your theory still works.
No, but I think the game was great. It was exciting to me. Like I said, 6 goals. It was 2-1 France. First half, 2-1 France, second half.
Yeah.
Ended up being 4-2. It was super, super close, and Croatia shot themselves in the foot, man, because they had a handball in the penalty box.
Yep.
That was a PK. It's a PK in regulation.
And
it's just not going to work out.
An own goal to start off Antoine Griezmann's cross off the defender's head into the back of the back of the net.
Yep.
So that was one. And then the PK.
And then now this thing's like two goals were Croatia mistakes.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you're sitting there, you're like 4-2, two goals are Croatia mistakes. That's 2-2.
Right. No, that's a good point. And so, I think that was what was unfortunate about it. France's first 2 goals were rough, but then they also scored multiple in a row. Pogba and Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
Scored within...
Dude, that guy was all over the place.
They scored within 6 minutes of each other. So it was like 2-1, like Croatia's hanging on, and then it was just like, boom, boom. 4-1, and it was like, okay, well, this game's over.
Yeah, Steph and I were watching it, and it was 2-1, and then 3-1, and we were like, ah, this is over.
Right.
But then we kept watching it, and then all of a sudden it goes 4-1, and Steph and I are both like, well, that's it.
That's it.
And then they got that crazy, goal where the goalie tried to
clear
it out.
Yeah,
and the guy ran up, and he walked in, which I've never seen before. All of a sudden it's 4-2, and I'm like, If they drive one in, this is one goal. Like, this could happen. It made it a little bit exciting.
A little bit, yes. And then nothing happened the last, like, 25 minutes of the game.
No, but I enjoyed it. I'm glad it didn't end 4-1 because that wouldn't have been fun to watch. But
yeah,
it was a great final. They said in the broadcast that the last two World Cup finals have had one goal each.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both ended 1-0, which you just don't want to see.
This
so this was great. And
I think, so, a couple things. First of all, what the hell was that goalie doing? That was the stupidest play I think I've ever seen in a soccer game live.
That was dumb.
He tried to like be all fancy, and the guy just like stole it, and it just went in the goal. But
no, he got complacent.
Yeah, they're up 4-1.
He was up 4-1. He didn't care. He's like, yeah, I'll just clear it out. And all of a sudden, the guy charged him.
Yeah.
And he panicked, And then the guy got a leg on it, and boom, it's a goal.
But the
didn't
other,
matter. But whatever.
The other thing is one of the greater stories, and I know you hated me for rooting for France, but Croatia did have a good story that a lot of the guys on their team were refugees.
Yeah.
And the population of the country is only 4 million people, which is very small compared
like
to
Los
the
Angeles
United
County.
States. Yeah, so it led to us discussing how in the hell we can't get a team in the World Cup when one of our major cities has almost the same amount of people as the entire country of Croatia.
And honestly, like, I don't know the answer to that question. Like, why in the world, like, people are like, well, it's our fourth biggest sport.
Right.
Popularity-wise. And I almost feel like that's not the case, because growing up, soccer is very popular. And I have a brother-in-law that has two boys that both play soccer. They're super into it. They play club. And it seems like in that community, in a lot of communities, like, soccer is a big thing.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like it's fifth or sixth on the totem pole. It's like they're not playing cricket or tennis or something like that.
Or bowling.
Like, or bowling. Like, it's a pretty popular sport. So, like, even if our... Just because our crazy stud athletes that are playing football and basketball aren't playing soccer, there's, you know, how many people are in the United States? 700 million people?
Something ridiculous like that.
Like,
yeah, I don't know.
700 million people in this country, and we can't field a team to at least compete?
Yeah, to make it. Not even get out of pool play. Just make it.
We usually make it. So this World Cup was an exception. But to at least get to the World Cup, get out of group, and fight to get to the semis. Like, we can't be that. Like, listen, I get it. We're not going to be Brazil. We're not going to be Germany.
325.7 million as of 2017.
Yeah, so I was like, half 55%. Yeah. So, like, we're not. I get it. We're not going to be Brazil. We're not going to be Germany. We're not going to be Spain, Portugal, whatever. Those are countries that are big, that live, eat, breathe, and sleep soccer. But we can be like the eighth best country in the world.
Yeah, I think so.
There's no excuse for that.
I 100% agree. I'm hoping that not making this World Cup, and the fact that in two World Cups we are hosting, kind of spurs like a national intent to make soccer more of a priority.
Yeah, like the competitive nature of this country to come out and say we're better than that.
Right. We should make it every year. And two, when we're hosting, like, we should have a team that can make a run. That's how we should think about it. Like, we're not just in the World Cup because we're hosting, which every host country gets to play in it no matter what. We're here because we're also very good. And I think that would be huge. But the last point I want to make about this was that I think France did what I was hoping, in that they got everything they needed out of their stars. Right? Like, the three guys that come to your mind when you think of France during the World Cup was Griezmann, Pogba, and Mbappe. And Griezmann had the own goal and the PK. Pogba had an incredible shot for a goal, and then Mbappe had a good one to finish to put him up 4-1. So I think you got star play, which was a lot of fun, and what you're looking for. You know, if you have just some random guy score, I feel like that makes it a little less interesting for the casual fan. Like, I wouldn't say I'm a super soccer fan. I would think that I'm kind of in the middle. But I knew enough of the guys on France that I was like, I hope these guys play well, because I actually know who they are. And they did, and that delivered. So that would be like when people watch the NBA Finals, LeBron having a good game. That's what you want,
that's
right?
You
don't want J.R. Smith going for 35 points, because it's kind of like, okay, that's whatever. Like, he's J.R. Smith.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah, so.
Agree to agree.
Agree to agree. Anything else about the World Cup for you? I was at a bar. I was at this bar called Prost in Portland. It was wild. People were getting after it at 8 in the morning.
I had a cocktail in my hand at 8 in the morning, but I was at my house.
I had a wedding the day before. Congratulations, Lucas and Taylor. But I was not feeling the cocktail or the beer situation at 8 a.m. I was more feeling the nap and the breakfast burrito.
You were at a bar, though. You didn't have a drink?
I had one, yeah.
Okay.
But it was like the last 60 minutes when the game was already in hand. It was a beer.
Just had a beer?
Yeah, just one. And I had biscuits and gravy.
Of course you did.
Anyways, let's move on to another session of Gavin Golf.
Yes.
It is the British Open, or the Open, as it is known by golf fans and golf enthusiasts. So we're a little bit late. Today was the first round, so we have the first round standings. So we can't necessarily make predictions. We still could, I guess, if we wanted to. But
you never know.
We did already ask each other through text before it started, so we could just say what we said through the text. But what do we got for the leaderboard? What's happening? Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the course. Carnoustie. Yeah.
Carnoustie is Carnasty, as a lot of the players like to call it, right? One of the toughest stretches in golf, 16, 17, and 18 at Carnoustie. So one thing that's interesting about Scotland golf courses is that they have no sprinkler system or water set up for any part of the golf course outside of the tee box and the greens. So whatever Mother Nature delivers, that's what they get. Mm. So in the wintertime, the springtime, and the fall, whenever the heck the rain comes, I don't know. I'm not a Scotland expert, are you?
So whenever, I feel like the rain always comes to Scotland, but I don't. You would think apparently so. Apparently not.
But it's brown right now, yeah, so it doesn't come right now. So whenever it rains, you know, it gets green, it grows out, they mow it, but they don't have a system to water it. So it's very, what's the word?
Brown.
It's brown.
Yeah, yes. It doesn't look good. Goes without saying. It doesn't look visually
appealing. It's susceptible to Mother Nature more than any other course.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
And so right now, they haven't had rain in 6 weeks. So it's super brown, super, super hot and fast. The fairways, from what they say, are rolling at like a 13 or 14 on the stip meter, and the greens are rolling at a 9. So the fairways are rolling faster than the greens.
Jeez.
And what a lot of the announcers are saying is that the ball is only going to stop if it hits a bunker or it hits some fescue or the rough. Okay. Something has to stop the ball from rolling because the ball's not going to stop rolling on its own. So Tiger Woods is saying he took 7-iron off of a couple tees on like 450-yard par fours on his practice rounds.
Because it would just roll.
Because that was the only club that he could hit where 125 yards of rollout was going to work for him.
Interesting.
So you have to pick such certain aiming points and landing spots because you hit the wrong mound, you're going to end up in the fescue even though you landed in the perfect spot. So super, super different. I'm not necessarily a fan of watching dark brown golf courses. I'm the like Augusta National type fan where everything is just looks like somebody went out there with like trimming scissors and groomed like every section of the course. Yeah. Like, that's my style.
Like it's hard to go from the azaleas and the Chinese dogwoods and the green of the Masters to we're looking at now.
To dirt. Yeah, to dirt. It's tough.
To brown. It's literally brown. Like, we're not making that up. If anyone hasn't watched, you should at least turn on your TV to see because it is weird. Like,
yeah, I'm watching them like... Just Google Carnoustie 2018 and literally you'll just see these little green spots in the middle of this big field on those green spots where the tee boxes and the greens. Everything else is brown.
Right, but it's not in bad condition, which is like a weird thing to wrap your head around, right? Like, it's just...
Well, it doesn't make any sense.
The grass like, is
my,
just brown.
If the grass in my backyard was brown... People would come over and be like, whoa, what happened to your grass, bro?
Like, Kyle, but do something about that.
Yeah, you go to the fairway, and it's completely brown. Like, it's not, like, tinted brown or not as green as you would like. It's literally tan. It's, like, it's the color that you want your skin in the summer.
Right.
Like, that's what the grass looks like. But the grass is in fine condition.
Yeah, it's not like it's...
It performs.
It's not like they're playing in a course that we would maybe pay $20 to play in. Like, it's still one of the top courses in the world. Yeah. It just looks like it's not, which is really hard to wrap your brain around.
One thing I will tell you is that, although I don't enjoy watching it as a fan, I would love to play a course like that to just be able to experience like those type of golf shots. Right. Like, if I'm 100 yards out, like the caddy would say, your best shot here is to hit an 8-iron 40 yards and just kind of roll it all the way up to the back.
Yeah, which
like,
is weird.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to launch a gap wedge to the moon and let it sit on the stick. He's like, no, that's not going to work.
It's just going to bounce roll off. Yeah.
Like, excuse me? Like, I've never launched a gap wedge in the middle of the, you know, 110 yards, a gajillion feet in the air, and have it not roll, spin back 5 feet.
So you're 100 yards out, you're actually having to hit it like 80, and then it'll roll, maybe.
With a wedge.
With a wedge.
It's still going to roll forward, or putt it from 60 feet in front of the green. Although Ryan did do that at in Palm Springs.
He did, yeah. I think we all used our putters a lot there because it was not the easiest of... Because
that course was nonsense, is what it was.
Yeah, that was not fun. But it was fun at the same time.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was a great time. Just challenging, and sometimes it was easier to grab your putter and just hit it straight as you could instead of trying to chip up, which is what we all did. But so, what is the leaderboard looking like right now?
So after round one, which started at I think 1-2 in the morning Pacific time, which is where Wedge Nasty and I are right now. So Kevin Kisner, 5-under. Eric Van Royen, who I've never heard of, is 4-under. Tony Finau, 4-under. Tony Finau,
phenomenal in championship. Or
Tony
in,
Finau just continues to perform every single Big Ten tournament. Does he not?
He does. What did he get? Tied for second or tied for third in the? No, tied for second in the U.S. Open.
In the U.S. Open, he like broke his ankle in the Masters and finished the tournament. Like the guy is just a stud. I love watching him play, and his backswing literally goes 40%. of most people's backswings. Like, it's, like, right here, like, straight up.
Really?
And he hits the ball, like, he's, like, fifth on 200 driving.
Is that just to minimize the amount of damage that could be done? Or why does he do that?
I don't know. That's him and John Rahm have, like, the shortest backswings ever, and they drive the ball.
And they crush it.
For miles. Yeah. Xander Lombard. Never heard of that guy. He must be a European tour dude.
The flags are big right. Golf the fans. Flags are right next to it. Where's he from?
Oh, South Africa. Oh, Eric Van Rooyen, South Africa. Xander Lombard, South Africa. Brandon Stone, 3 under, South Africa.
Wow.
Three of the top five from South Africa. There you go.
Dang. That's kind of...
They must be juicing. Ryan Moore, 3 under. Brandon Steele, 3 under. Matthew Southgate from England, 2 under. Man.
What's the projected cut looking like? Do we know that
yet? Do you even have that right now? So,
I guess
a couple
not.
Big names... other big names up top. John Rahm, Russell Henry, Rory, Zach Johnson, all at 2 under. Justin Thomas, Kevin Chappell, who's a UCLA guy, Patrick Cantlay, Kevin Na. He's playing good lately.
Kevin Na.
He's a weird dude.
Is he a Cal guy?
Is Kevin Na a Cal guy?
Oh, let's look that up.
Anyway, Tiger's even. So that's fun. I kind of expected Big Cat to be a little better than that, but... He is finished 2 over in the last 3 holes, I believe. I thought that this tournament, Tiger Woods, with the 2-iron stinger off the tee, him being able to hit those long irons and to sting him down the fairway when he doesn't have to go, driver all day because nobody does, this would be the course for him.
Right, he could make really pull it. Yeah. So you went Tiger. Let's get into our predictions. So yeah, you said
I
Tiger.
Said Big Cat. I even put a Tiger emoji in the text message that we had. Because when I put Big Cat, the Tiger emoji popped up, and I clicked on it. I was like, yeah, that's appropriate.
Yeah, we'll do that. Oh, wow. Kevin Na went to Diamond Bar High School out here on the West
really?
Coast. Yeah. Interesting. Anyways, I did two, and I don't know if that's allowed or not, but I did. I said Ricky Fowler or Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood has, I believe, the record at Carnoustie.
He does. He does have the record at Carnoustie, 63.
So that's why I decided to do that. However, that's not what happened.
Where's Tommy Fleetwood right now?
Oh, man. He left. Wow, Kevin.
Plus one. Tommy Fleetwood's plus one, which he's not out of it. He's fine.
Sorry, I'm looking up Kevin Na right now.
Yep.
He didn't go to college. He was at Diamond Bar High School. In Southern California.
He turned pro super young,
He left
right?
his junior year to play professional golf at age 17.
Dang.
So he did not go to Cal. Honorary Cal. We just gave him that.
He's a Pac-12 guy.
Yeah, he's a Pac-12 guy.
Yeah, you know.
Southern California probably would have went to one of our schools.
He grew up in the area where the Pac-12 schools are, so that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, so I went Ricky Fowler and Fleetwood. And Shaky's got in the West, who is our golf expert. He didn't really give an answer. Hence the Shaky's Got in the West name. He gave like five
he just
names.
Dance around the idea of giving an answer. Yeah, he's just like, you know, said, maybe this guy, maybe that guy. I was like, would you make a decision?
He was like, you know, there's a lot of guys I'm thinking about and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's basically like the top five players in the world. Can you just pick one of them?
That's to do with the course and the weather. It's like, yeah, we know that.
Anyway, so he'll be on next week to kind of break down the tournament with us. But he didn't make a choice, so he can't be right.
We'll probably say that whoever won was his choice.
Which he might not be lying if it was one of the five that he put in the text message, true. But
he's like DJ, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, mm-hmm. Jordan Spieth, and
Van Nieuwroy.
I'm trying to think of the top five guys in the world are right now.
Oh,
because that'd be like the easiest five. Yeah, picks. Like the best players. Those guys will win.
Before we move on to the Blitz package. Where anything goes. Did you see that video of Phil Mickelson, former ASU Sun Devil?
I wanted to talk about that so bad I forgot. Thank you for bringing that up.
That is a great video. So let's paint the picture for people.
Yeah.
So there's a guy standing, 3-4 feet away from him?
3 feet is pushing it.
Okay. So 3 feet
barely
max,
3 feet from him.
And he flop shots the shot over this guy's head and lands it right behind him.
So off a tight lie. Off of fairway, like rock hard fairway. Like if you sit the ball up in the rough,
You can
sit him on top of the rough, like fine. You can get that bounce way underneath the club, it's gonna catch the tail, like you're gonna hit it a million feet in the air, it's fine. Off of a tight lie, where you have zero room for error. The guy stands 3 feet away. Mm-hmm. Phil Mickelson, please, anybody listening, if you haven't seen this video, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson takes a swing.
Full swing.
That if he has a 3-iron in his hand, it goes 230 yards. Like, that's how hard he swung at this ball.
Maybe more.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
At Carnoustie, like 400 yards. He catches, if you slow-mo it, he catches the back corner of the club. Like, literally, like, the back 10% of this club with the bounce.
Yeah.
And launches it straight over this guy's head, 2 feet over his head, and it lands 2 feet behind his feet.
Yeah, it's an impressive arc. What's that called in math terms? So sine and cosine. We're not mathematicians. We're historians.
I'm a historian.
You're right. I'm an English guy.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
I speak English is what I meant to say. So.
Yeah, you do. Most of the time. So my question to you would be, I feel like of our little group of golfers, like, I'm the best at the flop shot. Yeah, I can throw the ball up in the air.
Yeah, you got it. You get the flop for sure.
So that being said, and let's make it a little easier. If it was rough, nice fluffy rough, right? Now, like, the rough is sitting there, and I just, like, set it on top there. You know I can get underneath it.
I'm going to say I still just trust what maybe 5 feet. That's the closest.
Five feet?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's still,
I'll take that.
That's still scary.
That's freaking scary. Yeah. You would.
Only because if you watch the video, he takes a full swing.
Full swing.
Like, it's not like he's like, okay, I'm just going to, like, lift it up and over.
It's
this guy.
Go like, boop.
No, he's
it's
like
a full swing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I trust Phil with my life. I would stand. I'd let Phil.
People
hit
do
it.
He's done that like 20 times, and he's never just busted somebody's shins.
There's got to be some trick.
But it's cool, though, because if you do that and Phil busts your shins, you're going to get paid.
That's a good point. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Like, if I bust your shins, there's no win to be had. Right, like, the only win is you get to make fun of me for the next, like, 10 years. That's it.
So, how funny, that's situational, right? Because it's a lose-lose, technically, with you. Because if you don't do it, I'm injured. If you do do it, I have to live with the fact that you'll tell me every time I see you that you did it.
Yeah, that's right. I'd be like, I'd be behind a bunker, like, we'd be playing golf, and I'd be like, hey, why don't you go stand in the bunker? I'll hit it over you. You know I could do it.
Like, no. And then every time I see you, I'd be like, Tony, remember that time we were playing, and I hit it over you, you're 5 feet away.
Well, off of, like, the tee box and the greens. And outside of that, you get what you get.
Fair.
You know, and so and I don't think that one of the things I wanted to mention was the whole time at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, people were like, they lost the course.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You can't do this. You can't do that. Nobody's saying a thing about Carnoustie. the fairways are rolling 5 points faster than the greens.
But
nobody's going out there and saying they lost the course. Like, you know, because is it too prestigious? Is it because it's Scotland and it's one of the homes of golf and blah, blah, blah? They feel like they can't do
but,
that.
But I think maybe the argument against that is that at the U.S. Open, if you missed, you were penalized severely as far as, like, you were taking 3 more shots from wherever you missed from, even around the greens. You land something on the green, it was rolling off into an area where you're having to chip and most likely 2-putt, if not 3-putt. As opposed to these guys, no, if I just hit it 10 to 15 yards shorter than I want, it'll be by the pin.
I guess
if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
The guys at the U.S. Open were thinking, I want to land it here, because that'll land by the pin. They would land it there, it would still end up in a bad area. That would be my argument against it. But I don't know. I think they will say... The other thing is, the scores are a lot lower. So there is no backlash right now, because guys are shooting under par.
That's true.
So...
It's pretty. I think that they're gonna move. I think they're gonna move the pins around to make it not as easy as it was today.
Right.
Normally, wind comes into play, weather comes into play, where it's guys can't shoot, you know, 5 under on a round. That's just not gonna happen.
Right.
So my assumption would be that for tomorrow they tend to go a little bit more aggressive with the pins so that 17 under
doesn't win
it.
Doesn't
win. You don't want 17 under to win it. You just don't. Like, no course in Scotland.
Not
at 17.
Yeah, not at the Open,
yeah,
right? Because that feels like it's too easy of a course.
No.
So, anyways, that was Gavin Golf. Let's move into the Blitz package, where anything goes. We have our top 5 football movies of all time.
We do.
That is one of the questions. And then we also have other ones, but we'll see what the time is because we're up against it.
We're up against it. That's right.
So let's get into it. I can go first.
Go first.
So I had 3 honorable mentions, and this was a lot harder. We didn't do a whole lot of research.
We didn't.
To preface, this was more of a spur of the moment thing. But The three that I liked that I left off were Little Giants, The Replacements, and Radio. Different feels to all of those movies, but great, all of them, nonetheless. So my number five football movie of all time, We Are Marshall. Great story. Do you know the story?
I do.
Plane goes down. They lose a bunch of their players. Come in, try and reconstruct the program.
It's a good movie.
Then they get Randy Moss and Chad Pennington and are really good.
Matthew McConaughey
does a great job. So I love that movie. Sad, sentimental, all of that. Great. Football, too. And they come through in the end, get some wins. Number four, Bobby Boucher, The Waterboy.
Interesting. You went with the comedy?
I did go with the comedy, but that's, like, in my opinion, the best football comedy of all time. Right? Like, what else? I don't want you to give anything away. Maybe Varsity Blues, but I feel like Waterboy is...
Varsity Blues isn't really a comedy, though.
True. There are funny parts, but it's not...
Anyhow. The Waterboy is a huge classic.
Yeah.
Without giving anything on my list away, I would say it's the best football comedy of all time. Madula, because football movies aren't comedies. Let's be real.
Right. They're more about perseverance and overcoming. Medulla oblongata.
And football.
Yeah, that's a good one. Number three, Friday Night Lights.
Solid.
Texas. Small town Texas football.
High
school football. But also, one of the only ones that they lose in the end. They do lose.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Number two, Rudy.
Well, there's a series, too. Have you watched a series?
Yeah, I have watched a series.
Is the series good?
It's pretty good. The movie is hard to beat.
I'm not into series that come... I'm going to hate for a second. I'm not into series that come out after movies, like Shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Movie Shooter?
Yeah.
With Mark Wahlberg? Great movie. They came out with a series, and I'm like, I already know what happens.
Yeah, and then the story kind of gets off the main actual storyline too much.
Like makeup, new things.
Yeah, it's like, that's not what we're into.
Anyway.
Anyway, Rudy, number two. I just love it. Smaller kid, some physical.
It's Notre Dame, isn't it?
Notre Dame.
I don't know about that one.
I know, but the storyline of the physical difficulties is being smaller. Dyslexia, I don't know if you remember that, but he has dyslexia, so he's really struggles in school, as I am struggling to speak right now. And then he makes a team, and he makes a tackle, and I'm pretty sure he's offsides in the end. There's a huge debate about that. We should watch it at some point.
Probably because it was Notre Dame, so he probably
cheated.
Yeah,
probably cheated. But anyways, it's a great movie. Number one, probably one of my top five movies of all time, Remember the Titans. Denzel Washington, segregation, integration. Freaking great movie.
Such a good movie.
I don't really have anything else to say other than it's just a great movie. I remember seeing it. I think I was in like 5th or 6th grade and I saw it in the theaters. I was like, we gotta buy that. I told my mom we gotta buy it. I watched it every day in the summer for like 2 summers straight. It was so good.
All the social issues going on at that time.
And
like
then,
you said, segregation.
Yeah, and then so not only that, but then to lose your star player before in the playoffs in an accident and still win, that's crazy. That's great. It's great.
Denzel,
Denzel does is really good.
I could sit here and throw like 7 quotes at you.
Me too. Well, okay, you start and I'll try and finish.
So, he goes, how many feet are in a mile?
5. I don't know how many feet.
How many feet are in a mile, Petey? 5,280 feet. You pick this football up and run every one of them. You're killing me, Petey.
You're killing me. I love the one when they're like him and now I have Bobby Boucher in my mind, but that's not the guy's name in the movie.
Brutier?
Yeah, Brutier. They're arguing back and forth, and he's like, he says something like, attitude reflect leadership, Captain. And then he just tears into him. He's like, your linemen haven't blocked for rev worth a plug nickel, and you know it. You're nobody plays. Yourself included. I'm supposed to wear myself out for the team? What team? Oh, I love that. I love that part.
So good.
And that's when they come together, right? Because they're like, damn, like the way you see it and the way I see it, that's not the
left
same.
Left side.
Yeah.
Strong
side.
Oh,
that's so great. Julius. Oh, what a great movie. Anyways, that's my top 5.
That might have given my mind away. All right, so I moved mine around a little bit. I actually wrote some down, and then I looked down, and I was like, It's like, what do I go at? Do I go with movies that I watched a lot as a kid that kind of affected me more?
Right.
Do I think that, you know, movies that are just, that I'd rather watch now, that I would rewatch over and over? Like, there's so many different strategies you could take. So,
right.
My honorable mentions are The Replacements.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Good movie. Keanu Reeves. Big Keanu Reeves fan.
Yeah.
I think he's underrated.
Sad Keanu. He's sad in every movie.
Yeah,
he does.
Sad. He's good at it.
He's good at being
Jerry
sad.
Maguire.
Ooh, Jerry Maguire. I forgot.
Great
that.
Movie.
That's a good one.
The Blind Side.
Oh, that's also a great movie.
So,
but I heard that Michael Orr wasn't super happy with how it turned out.
Really?
Yeah, because I think
it was like a huge hit.
No, it was, but I think personally it portrayed his home life a little worse than he maybe wanted it to be portrayed.
Yeah, it's good for Hollywood.
That's true.
Hopefully they paid him.
Screw his feelings.
And he's fine.
I want to be entertained.
He was famous after that, and he wasn't famous before that.
Well, he was an NFL offensive tackle.
Well, yeah, but nobody knew who he was.
That's true.
Name five NFL offensive tackles.
Terrence Williams.
There you go.
Tyron Smith.
Nobody knows who offensive tackles are. They stand up and push dudes.
All right, fair enough.
You make really good money doing it. Invincible.
Ooh, Invincible. Every time we do this, you have like 15 honorable mentions.
I have 12 more, so let me continue. No, those are it.
Invincible is a good movie.
It's a good
Isn't
movie.
That Wahlberg too?
Yeah, it's Wahlberg.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Number five for me, Friday Night Lights.
Great movie.
Great movie. I think Tim McGraw's in that movie.
He is. He's one dad.
Of the dad, right?
He's the harsh dad.
That's just a for good the movie. High school football is so intense, man.
It is. And it means so Especially much to Texas. The kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the kids, like, you feel bad for them.
That whole, like, plot line of the dad that won a state championship, and then he turned out to be just a drunk.
Yeah.
But he wants his kid to be better than he is, so he gives him a bunch of hard times. He's a crappy dad, blah, blah, blah.
Great.
Number four, Little Giants.
Little Giants was a good movie.
Just growing up, like, I can't forget the scene where he pulls the sandwich out of his out of his helmet, and then the Cheetos. And he goes, "What type of Cheetos?" He goes, "Puffs." He goes, "Pussy," or something like that, or "Wimp."
Or "Wimp."
He
might have said, "I think it's a little
kid's movie."
Movie.
Yeah. That's just like, and the big guys that the guy he's carrying the refrigerator on his truck. He's like, "Rah!" First
and
of all,
and they beat the Cowboys.
Beat the Cowboys.
Right?
First of all, nobody can carry a refrigerator on their back. This is for real. No 12-year-old.
We couldn't even... Wait, we tried to move your refrigerator that one time?
Yeah, it took us like 4 hours and all of us almost died. And we had like a dolly and like everything.
Remember we had to slide the wood plank behind?
Yeah, we literally almost destroyed my entire apartment complex trying to move our refrigerator. And this 12-year-old just like rocketed up a truck. Number three, Varsity Blues.
Okay. See, I had a hard time leaving that off, but... I'm not the biggest fan.
I actually looked up the cast.
Oh.
The cast is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, Paul Walker.
Oh, yeah. So we actually called one of my really good friends in college Mox, because he looked like...
Really?
Yeah. What's his name? Johnny Moxon. Moxon. What a great name.
Great
by
name.
The way. Yeah.
Varsity Blues is just a good, like, teenage...
Fair
and,
enough.
Like, the girl with the whipped cream.
Oh.
Paul Walker's a stud. May he rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Supposed to be a good, really good dude, so...
Yeah, I heard that too, actually. Yeah, that is a bummer.
And then, number two, Any Given Sunday. Was that not even on your list anywhere?
That was not on my list, but
Jamie Foxx? Al Pacino?
Oh, Inch by Inch! That's a great movie.
You know what's another movie that I forgot?
What?
The movie with Matthew McConaughey where he's betting.
Oh, yeah, what's that called?
What's it called?
Is that
a football movie.
Oh, that is a football movie. Oh, I'll look it up while you give your number one.
And then number one is Remember the Titans.
Yeah, I mean...
You can't touch it.
You
just can't touch
it. It's so
I mean, good. they go to Gettysburg, and he runs, he takes the team out there, and they run for like 5 miles, and finally get there, he goes like, you know, 5,000 guys died on this field, protecting this and that, and, you know, the black guys and the white guys aren't getting along.
Yeah.
It shows like how many people
together.
Died,
yep.
You know, to bring these people together. Like, it's just...
blood is for washing blood off, or water's for washing blood off that uniform, and you don't get no blood on my uniform, boy. You must be outside your mind.
So
I love that movie. Oh, I was going to look up the Matthew McConaughey movie, but I remember what you were saying.
Two for the money.
Yeah, and he wins.
Al Pacino's in that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is. And he wins. I don't want to give it away, but he wins in the end on a, like a bet that he doesn't actually want to win, right? Is that something like that?
Two for the money's great.
Two for the money.
I love Matthew McConaughey. Not the biggest fan of him in We Are Marshall.
Really?
I just don't think he's the role for that. I don't think
I
he's a
he
football
a great
coach.
Job. Oh, okay. Fair.
You know, I just that's
yeah. He is
not...
kind of more of the like slick talking, better kind
of
guy.
Yeah, like Denzel Washington's football coach.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
I don't think Matthew McConaughey's football coach.
But the story of We Are Marshall is very good.
Great story. Yeah. Great story.
Anyways, that's our top five.
It's top five.
Run down real quick what your top five were.
Top five. Friday Night Lights 5, Little Giants number 4, Varsity Blues 3, Any Given Sunday 2, okay. Remember the Titans, Far and Away number 1.
So I had 5, We Are Marshall, 4, Waterboy, 3, Friday Night Lights, 2, Rudy, 1, Remember the Titans.
Yeah, Rudy doesn't make my list because it's about Notre Dame, so I can care less.
That's biased.
Yeah, I know it is. I'm totally okay with that. I'm under no obligation to not be biased.
That's a good point. But you have to admit,
network is paying me money to not be biased.
Yeah, that's true.
You ain't paying me enough to not be biased. Let me tell you right now.
That's a good point. But you have to admit it is a good movie.
This is a Pac-12 podcast.
I know, but I mean,
I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying I'm supposed to be biased.
I connect.
The Pac-12.
I connect with Rudy because I'm not the biggest of guys, and I also wanted to play at Notre Dame. He did, I didn't, so unfortunately that's how that worked out. Spoiler alert. But
he barely did, let's be real.
So that's really it, unless you got another Blitz package.
So I just have a question, okay, because I thought about this, right, and I was watching a little of the 3-on-3 basketball Ice Cubes League. What's it called?
Big 3.
Big 3?
Yeah.
I was watching some of the Big 3, and I watched it for like 30 minutes, and I thought it was awful.
Really? I really like watching it.
I think half-court basketball is so boring.
But 3-on-3 makes it fun.
How does it make it fun? There's no fast breaks.
Yeah, but because it's
nobody can dunk on anybody because everybody's playing defense at all times.
But I think it's a lot of fun because it puts so much stress on the defense because you have half the court with only 3 guys. I really like watching it.
I'm totally the opposite of you. I watched it, and one thing that was actually I thought was impressive is that half the guys I was watching were like, not necessarily Hall of Famers, but like legitimate NBA players that I knew.
Yeah, like Katino Mobley, Jermaine O'Neal.
Who are the other guys?
I think Metta
Kenyon
World
Martin
Peace.
Was playing or something like that. Like
Metta World Peace, I think, played, didn't he?
I think so.
I think, yeah.
I knew like 2/3 of the guys that were playing. I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool, like a bunch of superstars.
Yeah.
And I was like, but they're not as good as they were before.
Yeah.
And there's no fast breaks, and they just keep taking the ball out. And I don't know. I felt like I was watching like a really boring street ball.
Okay, fair. That's fair. I like the 3-on-3 format because I think it spreads the floor, and you got
it, you know, you, what if it was full court?
3-on-3? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's for ratings. It's for money.
Yeah, but
why isn't ridiculous good?
Like, no, they,
somebody
ridiculous
did freaking, what was the like jam ball or whatever? The trampolines.
That's cool though.
That might last longer than 3-on-3.
No way. 3-on-3's blown up from what I've read.
Really? Because when I watched the stadium,
they're expanding.
It's not packed.
They're expanding. Brazil, China. 3-on-3, we're looking for jobs if you got any.
Shoot. No, yeah, I should take my
This is the
back.
New 3-on-3 of the Big 3 podcast.
I don't know. I couldn't. Maybe I'm comparing it too much to the NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
And I wasn't taking it for what it is.
I think maybe what I like about it too are the old guys. Because it brings me back to when I was growing up and NBA players
watching those guys.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, I remember Katino Mobley. I remember Jermaine O'Neal with the Pacers. Like, all that sort of stuff where it's like, I like watching them play again because it brings back a little bit of childhood memory. So, that's part of it.
I feel like I would love to go watch in person.
Yeah.
I think that would be super fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Like, I'd pay, like, a decent money for a ticket to go watch some of the guys that I watched growing up play 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And to see that different style of basketball. I just don't know that I would watch on TV.
That's a good point. But, you know, I think they're getting into the streaming. I gotta look it up because I remember reading an article, and I heard somebody on one of the radios talking about it, and they're trying to get like Facebook streaming to buy in, something like that. Mm. So they're trying to make it more accessible for people that just want to have it on. But
and do they do it in summer when NBA's not going on?
Yeah, it's on right now, right? I think the season is right now until like August. I think it's only like maybe 2-3 months.
That's the only chance they have it surviving.
Yeah.
Is to diehard basketball fans will watch NBA when it's on, and then when NBA is not on, you watch 3-on-3.
Right.
That's the way they got to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll give it a second chance. Yeah.
No, I.
Because I'm a big basketball fan, so.
True.
We'll see.
What would you need to make it better, to make it appealing to you?
There's like 8 teams, right?
Yeah, I think 8.
And then they have a regular season and playoffs, the whole thing. I guess what I need to do is watch the playoffs, like through the finals, and like get a sense of who's on each team, who's good, who's not. And then once I have a general understanding of the teams, I might be a bigger fan.
Got it.
Because that's the same thing at the World Cup, right? Like, I was only more into it once I watched like a lot of the group games and started to understand who's good, who's not, what's an upset, what isn't. Like, when you watch teams that you have no idea what's going on, how is that exciting, you know?
That's a good point.
Like, for me, like, a general understanding of what's happening is super important.
So it's not so much the product that you're against, it's your lack of research of the product.
That's definitely an interesting way to put that right back on me. But I think this should just be full court. I don't know why it can't be full court.
I think you would need a smaller court.
Why?
Like, think about beach volleyball. The court's a little smaller because it's 2-on-2.
Imagine playing... Was it? I played full... dude, we did full court back in the day forever. And I played in tournaments where it was 30-on-30, and it was freaking nuts. And it was so much fun.
But for you...
What do you mean?
The player, as a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid, it was fun. These guys are 40-year-old dudes. I don't think they want
to. That's true. So that's one thing that you do have to think about is for them, that you can't ask those guys to run up and down the court like that. They die.
But they could maybe make the court a little bigger. But then, but they have a four-pointer.
They have a four-pointer, which is cool, but when I watched, nobody even shot one.
Yeah.
And I was like, man.
Not until Steph Curry retires.
Dude.
Top five player.
Then I'll watch 3-on-3.
Top five player in the NBA.
Stephen Clay? Is he a top five player in the NBA?
Ooh, retired Splash Bros. That could be their name.
What? That'd be sick.
Yeah.
He's not a top five player in the NBA.
We're saving that for next week because that needs its own segment. I was going to ask you about that because you were texting. Listen, next week. We'll bring it up next week.
Is he the best point guard in the league? You take him over, even over your boy Russ?
Yes. How can you in one breath say that Russell Westbrook will never win a championship and in the next breath say... he's better than Steph Curry, who's won three.
Yeah, Steph's in a better situation.
that's a good point. But if you switch Steph and Russ, would it work?
If you switch Steph and Russ, Steph ain't winning a championship with OKC, I tell you that. And Russ probably winning a championship with KD and Golden State.
This is a bigger discussion. We're already an hour and 10 minutes into this podcast. Right. We've already lost 75% of our listeners.
We're doing a podcast right now? Anyways, drinks in the garage.
That wraps up this segment of the Blitz Package and this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Rate us. Go on iTunes. Give us some feedback. We really appreciate all the listeners. Kyle, we'll do the same damn thing next week.
Woo!
Bye.
Damn, I ain't the gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Homo for cars and all the balls. Well, I ain't the gone psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands. Oh, you stuck in the friend zone. Time like 4, 5, 5. Ayy, 100 bins inside my shorts, a chino, the shit. Ayy, try to stuff it on him, but it don't even fit. Ayy, know that I've been with the shits ever since the jit. Ayy, I made my first million on that shit.